worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely awesome day today. I have a request from you guys right now. I need you to pray for a little four-week-old girl in Orlando area named Paisley, a friend of ours. Basically, they had a little girl, and they decided they essentially didn't want to do any vaccinations, and again, they basically got drug into the whole vaccine push when they went and saw the pediatrician last week, and they capitulated into giving her another round of hepatitis B vaccination, and they had to admit her into the NICU last night with 103 temperature, and they're basically praying and hoping that she will push through this. And he texted me up earlier today and told me, "I can't believe I didn't listen to you." And I told him, I said, "Dude," I said, "it doesn't matter right now." I said, "All we can do is pray for your little girl, push forward, and not make the same mistake again. This is reoccurring." I said, "This is something that goes on a regular basis." And he goes, "Well, it's crazy." He goes, "Because the doctors are telling me it had nothing to do with the vaccine. You know, she got an infection from somewhere." And I said, "Well, where is she gone?" He goes, "She hasn't gone anywhere. She's been with her mom for the last 3 weeks here at the house. She doesn't go anywhere." And I said, "Exactly." I said, they lie, and they continue to lie on a regular basis. And these guys are going to have to answer for this when they check out and they go to the other side. And I think a lot of these doctors are going to have to answer to God Almighty for what they've done to these little kids. And they knowingly did to these little kids. I pulled up the CDC vaccine schedule because I was curious on what the aspect of was. Hepatitis B vaccine, even in mothers that are Hep B negative, and I quote, this is from the CDC chart, one dose within 24 hours of birth, then it says another dose within 1 month of basically of birth. Within 1 month of birth, they need their secondary shot. Routine series is three doses. It's zero at 1 to 2 months, and at 6 months. It says infants who did not receive a birth dose should begin a series as soon as feasibly possible. Administration of four doses is permitted when a combination vaccine containing Hep B is used with the birthing dose. And this, to me, when I read this stuff like this, and I mean, it blatantly says here, mother is Hep B negative. They still get a dose at birth, and they still want them to have another dose at 1 month. The mother is Hep B negative. She's not testing positive for hepatitis B, but you say the child needs to have a hepatitis B vaccination, and they blatantly say on the pamphlet that the vaccination does not protect them from hepatitis B when they get older. So this means it's a completely and totally useless vaccination that does nothing but cause irreversible damage to these children when they are literally just born or within a few weeks of being born. So be with her, guys. Pray with her right now for Paisley, and that she pushes through this. They said the only thing that's keeping her fever down right now is Tylenol. Sad as that is, Tylenol is really rough on the liver, but it does keep the fever down from having an insane amount of brain swelling. And I just wanted to start off with that, Deb, because I literally get so sick of hearing about this over and over and over and over again, and these stinking doctors refuse to acknowledge what's going on, and they pretend like you basically have no idea what happened. It was just a random fluke that the baby happened to get sick after a vaccine, when almost every single time I hear about the situation happening, it's right after the baby is vaccinated. It really boggles my mind that these guys can do this with a straight face and not deal with just excessive guilt, Dad.
It's the money that Blue Cross Blue Shield pays them. I mean, you know, they get an extra $100,000, $200,000 a year based on how many patients they have that are fully vaccinated. And it's about greed. I remember when I was in the medical school program at Florida State, I remember the competition to get into the medical school and among students was so great that if they thought you had a competitive edge, if you were smart, they would intentionally contaminate your pipettes in organic or general chemistry, and they would intentionally contaminate your experimentation so you couldn't get A's in your laboratories, which may be that crucial point that would prevent you from getting into medical school into a graduate program of your choice. And they would do it over and over and over again. Almost every single one of the people that I knew that was going to go to medical school were greedy blanks. I'll leave it blank. You guys fill in the blank. And it was unbelievable to me how selfish and how greedy they were. And now, not all doctors are like that. There are literally probably 15 to 20% of the doctors that are really caring, thoughtful individuals who know that what they're doing has to be thought through before they do it. But then we got about 50% that all they care about is the money, and we got about another 30% that are just ignorant. They're just, be honest with you, they're usually medical students from other countries that have come into this country and qualify for their medical licenses, and they have received substandard training. So that's what we have. That's why iatrogenic diseases, or diseases that are caused by doctors, kill over 1 million people a year in the United States every year, and that doesn't even include the vaccinations, because as this blithering idiot doctor who basically shot this little baby up with this Hep B shot said, this has nothing to do with the vaccination. He's an idiot. It'll say right on the doggone label of these doggone vaccines that this is one of the possible side effects, and he knows that. But he doesn't want the liability exposure from it. That's why he won't admit to anything. I know my sister went to medical school, and they basically taught her that you never admit to anything. She told me this. She says, you never admit to anything. If you kill somebody, you do not admit to it. You do not talk about it. You have them contact your attorney because you are not to blame, period. And that's the mindset. Then I have another friend of mine who's a doctor, and he used to work in some of the major hospitals. He's no longer practicing. And he told me that some of the doctors are so, God, I hate talking about it like this, so sick that whenever somebody would run out of insurance in the hospital and they had to basically get them out of the hospital because they were basically now taxing the hospital because they couldn't pay their bill, they would turn off life support. And these doctors, he knew one doctor who would actually notch the hospital radiator with a scratch mark with every patient that he killed. You think, come on, Ted, are you kidding? I'm just telling you what I've been told. And there's a movie you can watch that'll give you some indication of what goes on in hospitals. And I've only seen it one time on TV, and I'm sure they pulled it off for that reason. It's called The House of God. And how they talk about what they do, how they kill people, how they do autopsies to make extra money, how the autopsies the cherry on the top as far as the final bill. I mean, these guys, it gets so, death becomes so common and so pervasive in that field that they become jaded to it, and they don't think about the actual consequences of what's happening to the children and to the parents and to the families of these individuals that are not only being given diseases because of vaccinations or have their lives cut short. The same thing is true with statin drugs. Statin drugs have absolutely zero useful purpose. Another study has just come out and analyzed 100 statin studies and said they're completely and totally useless, and that cholesterol does not cause heart disease. It doesn't. Too much salt can cause heart disease because salt basically dehydrate the artery walls, and they can cause an over-ionization of the blood vessels, which cause plaquing. Not enough cholesterol can cause heart disease because your blood vessels start getting real sticky. Eating hydrogenated oils definitely cause heart disease. Statin drugs cause hardening of the arteries. I mean, all of these things that we talk about on the show on an ongoing basis cause heart disease. Now, let's go back to the child. A children's immune system isn't even capable of producing antibodies from a vaccine until they're 12 months old. Sometimes, some doctors say up to 18, sometimes up to 24 months. The baby's supposed to be getting all of his immune system basically from the mother, from the breast milk, for the first 12 months. So it doesn't matter how many vaccines you give that child. All it's going to do is cause a cytokine storm, massive swelling, massive fever, just like you see with hepatitis B shot, because this is so poisonous to these kids. And they can't produce antibodies anyhow. So it's a complete and total waste of time the first year, period. So if you're going to do vaccines, regardless of what we say, and no matter how much we squall and bawl and cry and yell and cream and everything else on the show, stagger the doggone vaccines and don't take multivial shots. Don't let them do that to you. Don't allow that. And watch the movie Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. Yep. And now, Austin, remember years ago, well, I got so upset with the good friend of the families who had decided to vaccinate their children with all 78 vaccines in the gym, And I said to them, you know, you're basically playing vaccine roulette with your children. And the response was, if my child dies from the vaccinations, it was God's will for my child to die. My response was, are you telling me if you step out in front of a semi truck and you get run over, that was God's will? And he said, yes. And I said to him, I said, I had no idea you're this stupid. I had no idea. And then I got really mad, had to repent later. I started yelling, got so angry I had to get up and walk out of the gym because of my deep, deep compassion for that child he had because of what they were doing to that child. Now, the older you get, Austin, because I was probably 55, 54 when all that happened. But in 25 years from now, after you've seen the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have had brain damaged children because of vaccinations, and then you see a friend of yours do it, you will understand my response, though absolutely to the point of ludicrousy as far as how mad I got. It was one of those things, because this family had been really close to us for years and years and years, and this kid was like a son to me. I mean, I even took him on a couple vacations with us. I mean, he's like a son. And, he had decided not to vaccinate his children. And we had given him enough information to strangle a cow. And he had said, nope, not going to do it. Married a woman who's a complete and total interesting person, difficult to get along with, got a super dominant mother, and the women decided that he was going to vaccinate that daughter, and he had no choice in it. And it's just sad. And I'm not going to go into any more detail with that because I don't want to do it anymore. Every time I talk about it, I get angry. Now, let's talk about one other thing that I need to discuss. Finally, the serial rapist violent offender Bill Cosby has been sentenced to prison for 3 to 10 years for the rape of someone that he raped back in 2004. I told you guys 5 years ago on the Hagman Show what an unbelievable lowlife this guy was and how when we were on the seminar circuit with him back in 96 or 97, 20 years ago, that Lori, the speaker's liaison, was sent to pick him up at his home in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia area, wherever that was. I think it was Philadelphia. Because he was speaking at the seminar there in Philadelphia. And I'll never forget, at the last minute, he changed the pickup and wanted he was going to take the train in because he didn't want the limo coming into his subdivision to pick him up. I have no idea why. He's Bill Cosby. And so they gave him the wrong train track. Lori got lost. Lori was like 6 months pregnant. He gets into and of course it created this giant scene you can imagine at the train station in Philadelphia when Bill Cosby himself, dressed up in a $20,000 suit, gets off the train with his foot-long stogie. I mean, it turned into this giant zoo. They finally got him. They got him to the seminar. He was unbelievably angry because of what happened with Lori. And as Lori got into the car, he started screaming and yelling and cursing at her, calling her every vile name that could come out of a human being's mouth, cussing her, cussing her baby, cussing everything, and told her if she didn't want her newborn baby, that baby in her womb, to hear what he was saying, she could get out of the limo and she could take a taxi to the seminar and get out of his limo. That's Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
He is an arrogant SOB, excuse my vernacular there. I guess that could stand for sorry old boy. And quite frankly, I can't stand the guy. Now, I know him. I got a few pictures with him that day. He was so angry. Nobody could control him. He was so mad, running around screaming, stomping around with his foot-long stogie in his expensive clothes. And finally, he was introduced to me and as a fellow speaker, so he calmed down a little bit. Finally, he came into our ready room area. He had his own separate ready room, by the way. They had a separate area just for Bill Cosby, so he wouldn't have to associate with the other speakers or anyone. Well, he left his ready room area because I guess he got bored and came into our ready room area, and I walked into the room, and I had my Zero Halliburton briefcase with me. I had that thing for 40 years, and I had my camera in it. I opened it up to get the camera out to take a picture of Bill Cosby. I mean, this is Bill Cosby. We didn't know he was a serial violent rapist back then, but we knew he had a horrible personality. And I get the camera out. He looked at me and goes, what are you going to do with that camera? And I said, Mr. Cosby, I said, I've been a fan of yours for a long time. And I said, I was going to ask you if I could take a picture of you with me. But you're in such a crappy mood and you have such a foul personality today. I'll be honest with you. I don't even want a picture with you. I said, you already know who I am. You know that I'm one of your fellow speakers, and I'm sharing the platform with you today. And he said, he started laughing. It was so strange. because he didn't expect me to talk to him like that. And he said, let's sit down, let's take some pictures. And sure enough, we snapped four or five photos. Still have them. And what's funny about the whole thing, in fact, I need to post one of them online. Of course, he's a serial violent rapist. I don't know if I can put my picture online with him. But the craziest thing is he was that mean of a human being. And then I remember he went out to speak, and he got up, and he got Roger. This was a business meeting. He had 30 minutes to speak. They were paying him $100,000 to speak for 30 minutes. I remember it was an insane amount of money. And I remember he brought Rudyard Kipling's book, Gunga Din, about trench warfare in World War I, and read from that book until he had almost the entire crowd depressed and crying, then got off the platform and left. I'm not joking. Got off the platform and left, grabbed his giant stogie that was sitting there, hit his limo and was gone, and I've never seen him since. And I don't really care if I ever do. And I told Lori, who was crying all day because of how he had spoken to her, and cried for weeks. And then Peter, the doggone seminar guy, the head guy, made Lori write Bill Cosby an apology letter. I kid you not. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe Peter did that. And I feel so sorry for Lori. But I tell you what, Lori, if you're listening to the show right now, we loved you. You were a great speaker liaison. And quite frankly, Bill Cosby has been paid back in multiple folds of millions of times for what happened to you in that car, though I still feel awful for what happened to you in that car that day. And that child now would be over 20 years of age. And so you could tell that child that story on the day that Bill Cosby is sentenced to 3 years in prison. So that's Bill Cosby's story. And yes, I do know him. Yes, I spent half a day with him. And yes, he is a complete and total lowlife, condescending jerk is what he is. And I am, quite frankly, I am happy that he got sent to prison. Years ago, it was so funny, yesterday I had a dear friend of mine, Terry. She's a former state attorney for Tampa and for Tallahassee, and she ended up sending me some information on another lady who works in Washington now on a conservative basis, and her mother was Alice Faye Redd here in Central Florida years ago. And Alice Faye Redd basically ran a Ponzi scheme with her husband, Henry Redd, and basically stole millions and millions of dollars from people here locally for the Watson Clinic. It was such a big deal that actually made a national, they actually did a TV made-for-TV movie for her about it. Well, she did. She's like chairperson for the Republican Party for the state of Florida. And of course, at the end, when she gets busted for stealing millions of dollars and running the Ponzi scheme, they say that she's mentally ill. I can tell you this right now. The woman was not mentally ill. She was just like Bill Cosby. She was a megalomaniac, narcissistic, complete and totally self-absorbed human being that thought that her political connections could prevent her from being put in jail, even though she stole millions of dollars from people here in the area, wiped out a lot of people's life savings, came down with cancer in the hospital. And I mean, in the jail, she was in jail for about a year or two, dying of cancer. Finally, as she was being taken to the hospice, they allowed her to get taken out of prison to be with her family, and she died at home, which is another thing she was able to do because of her political connections. She and her husband persecuted me to the point of having me taken off two major talk shows, and also from teaching a class at Carpenter's Home Church back in the 80s. They came after me, both hook, line, sinker, boat, motor, and oars, to try to destroy our ministry and what we were doing, trying to help people all over the world as far as learning to eat right and follow God's word for better health and understanding of the scripture. True story, guys. I'm not making this up. In fact, if you read my latest book, or Sharon's latest book, The Breakthrough Health Clean, Eat Clean and Healthy book, I mention what happened at Carpenter's Home Church in the beginning of that book, and I talk about what happened. I don't mention the Reds. Both of them are dead now. And her daughter basically has written very nice articles about her mother. And I can't say as I blame her, because it's her mom, and you really, it's difficult to say things bad about your mom, especially when they're dead. But guys, when these types of people take money from people and do this to them, and basically cause Bill Cosby, you have like 60 people accused him of raping them, drugging them and raping them. I mean, what in the world does a heathen who used to go to the Playboy Club, who has no relationship whatsoever with Jesus Christ as the Lord of his life, who is complete and total, as far as I'm concerned, worked with the Monarch programming. That's what I believe. I believe that's my opinion. Okay, as far as working with these girls in the Playboy mansions. And here he has the ability to pretty much have any girl he wants as far as from a heathen standpoint, and yet he feels it's necessary to violently rape them and drug them. I mean, if you're going to be a whore, like Bill Cosby was, he could have gone out to Vegas with his hundreds of millions of dollars and bought any whore he wanted to in Vegas, but that wasn't okay for him. He had to take girls that were basically unwilling to have sex with him and drug them and drag them into the rooms. The guy should have gotten life in prison for what he's done, Austin, instead of 3 to 10 years. And sadly, again, it's probably because of his political connections that he is not. In fact, he continually showed the upside-down pyramid when he was on TV, on interviews, being interviewed, which basically means mercy for the Illuminati, means mercy for the Masonic Lodges, it means mercy for the Luciferians, and he was asking them for mercy for what he had done. And there was no telling what he did and who he raped. Apparently, he did it to the wrong person, and somebody found out about it, and they'd had enough of it, and he came crashing down amongst his own publicity. So those are the two people that I wanted to mention today, Alice Faye Redd and Henry Redd. And he was a pediatrician here in Lakeland, which doesn't surprise me. And he never went to prison. He didn't lose his law license. He was involved also in the Ponzi scheme. They used him basically to have pay restitution from his salary for the rest of his life until he died. They had a beautiful home here close to me, actually, down the road called Manderley. It had its own name, so you know how what it must have been like. And they used to have huge get-togethers there for the Republican Party with 300 and 400 people at once with matching place settings and silverware. And I'm sure that's where all the money was going to do these huge, lavish parties for the Republican Party. So, guys, yes, I have been around for a while, and I have seen a bunch of stuff. And you don't want to know everything that I know. And the reason I talk about these people like this is because they're either dead, like Alice Faye and her husband were, or like Bill Cosby, he is off to happy, happy land. He'll probably go into a really, really very, I'm sure from him, from as old as he is, also being 80 years of age, I doubt he'll do any hard time in the hard facility. He'll probably just be locked up. And quite frankly, he's probably impotent anyhow, but it's not the violent offenders. The violent offenders is not necessarily about the rape and the reason they're doing this to these women. It's about the control and the power over them, the sickness that they have. And quite frankly, I don't think he's sick. I just think he's got completely and totally controlled by his own arrogance and greed and his own megalomania. And I apologize to dump on you guys like this, but somebody, Terry was so funny. She sent me that stuff yesterday about Alice Faye Redd's daughter. And I thought, okay. And I started thinking about it. And then this whole thing with Cosby came up. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to talk about both these clowns tomorrow on the air. And I didn't realize that nerve was still as raw as it was with Alice Faye, because I had forgiven her. In fact, when she was in prison dying of cancer, I prayed to God Almighty. I said, Lord, if this is because of what she did to me and Sharon, if this is because of what she did to us, I ask you to please show her mercy. Because this is way, way more than I ever expected. Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And guys, that's New Testament. That's New Testament. So when somebody does you wrong, just step back. You pray that God blesses them and you forgive them. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, God will repay. That's why you should never pray something bad happens to people, because that's a form of witchcraft. Because the power of your words are too strong for you to allow yourself to be taught over and brought over to the dark side. Okay, enough of all that. Austin, what do you want to talk about next?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one other thing I wanted to touch base on with vaccines, since I brought it up earlier, I didn't get a chance to bring it up. Nick Cartone, who's a professional MMA fighter, he does some fighting with UFC and so forth. He's done pretty well over the last couple of years. Him and his wife, Marjorie Cartone, she's a registered nurse, and they now had a similar issue. 2 weeks after their 20-month-year-old, very healthy and active son, Nicholas, who's 20 months old. So 2 weeks after he was vaccinated with the DTaP vaccine, his parents found him dead in bed when they went to get him out of his crib in the morning. 20-month-old kid, super healthy, hadn't had a single issue whatsoever. His mom, you know, Marjorie, she was a registered nurse. She commented basically on how her nursing education never, ever discussed the adverse reactions to the vaccine, and she never even bothered to check the ingredients of the vaccine because she was taught that they were all safe. She said even though as a wife of a professional MMA fighter, she was meticulous about checking ingredient lists on food to make sure her family was healthy, and she completely neglected her duty to research the vaccines on what they are putting in these children. The crazy part is, again, as we just talked about before, they never accept blame. They always push it on something else. The autopsy report of their son listed the cause of death as sudden infant death syndrome and was natural, as medical authorities refused to consider their son's vaccine as a contributing factor to their death. I've talked about before in detail that SIDS is a completely and totally made up death. It doesn't exist as far as what that is. It's in the books to basically cover usually vaccine deaths, and if you do your research on it, you will find that SIDS was never even a viable explanation for death until vaccines started being introduced so heavily in the population, primarily in the 80s. Before that, SIDS didn't exist because babies didn't just suddenly just die while they were in bed sleeping. That was a rare, ultra-rare occasion, that now it makes up thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of infant deaths every single year, and it's the way for them to scapegoat what's going on so they don't have to take any ability or any, basically, blame for what's going on. So now both of these individuals, Nick and his wife Marjorie, have put billboards up in New Jersey, New Haven, Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts, Syracuse, New York, and Kansas City, Missouri. Giant billboards with a photo of their son, and it says, in parentheses, quoting, "As a nurse, I was never taught vaccines can kill you until my son was a victim. LearnTheRisk.org. RIP Nicholas Cartone." So they're doing what they have to do now to get this information out there, because so many people are affected by this every single year, and nobody wants to talk about it for fear of reprisal, because the mainstream media that is bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies has gone out now and literally reprimanded anybody that ever speak negative about vaccines, even to the point now, as I told you guys 2 weeks ago, Pinterest is now blocking and banning anything you say on their site regarding vaccinations or vaccine awareness or vaccine dangers or vaccine injuries, blocking it. Will not allow it on their posts, and many other websites, including Facebook and other sites, have done the exact same thing. So just something I kind of wanted to add on top of that on what we've already said, but enough of that. I got a lot of articles to talk about right now. Another one that came up that really caught my attention is, you guys know, the DNA sourcing companies like Ancestry.com and 23andMe and all these other DNA sourcing sites now that I highly recommend you never give your DNA to, as we talked about in detail. The new one now, listen to this. This is the newest article on these companies now. Music streaming service Spotify has now partnered with Ancestry.com in order to offer playlists directly to you based on your DNA. Ancestry.com, which uses saliva tests to provide customers with information on their lineage, has now announced it will launch this new feature. They go on to say, with Ancestry DNA tests, you can discover more about yourself, from learning your ethnicity to connecting with distant relatives. And now, your Ancestry DNA results can play unique Spotify mix of music inspired by your direct origins. Ancestry's executive vice president said the new service is designed to help people better experience their culture. News of the collaboration was met with mixed reviews on social media, with many expressing concerns over the potential data sharing issues. They said Ancestry says well over 10,000 people have already opted in, and they expect thousands more in the coming days. DNA testing companies have repeatedly made headlines recently for handling abusers' genetic information very, very carelessly. It was revealed earlier this year that more than 92 million users of the DNA testing site MyHeritage had their usernames and hashed passwords exposed after a private server was discovered. And if you guys remember, just back in July, I personally reported on the DNA testing company 23andMe partnering with GlaxoSmithKline to give Big Pharma access to over 5 million users' genetic data. The $300 million four-year project between GlaxoSmithKline and 23andMe is basically going to give them 5 million DNA samples. They said the goal of the collaboration is to gather insight and discover novel drug targets driving disease progression and develop therapies for serious unmet medical needs based on these discoveries, which, as you and I know, this is essentially a DNA farming hack job is what they've done here now, selling your DNA to a pharmaceutical company. And you can only imagine, as we've talked about in detail, how far this can go. But again, the reason why I want to reiterate, do not use these companies under any circumstances. Once you hand them your DNA, it is no longer your DNA anymore. They can do with it as they please, as they have already clearly showed us, Deb.
Well, what I would do if I was going to get my DNA tested, I would use an alias. You know, I'd call myself Alfredo Gonzalez Spiegel or something, you know, and just yeah, have them send it in and be, you know, whatever. Now, if your name's Alfredo Gonzalez Spiegel, don't send me a letter, okay? I thought I could come up with a name that nobody had. I didn't say John Smith, okay? But just come up with some ridiculous name and put it on there and have it sent to a sec, and have it sent to somebody else's address. So then you'll be Alfredo Gonzalez Spiegel, and you'll basically be, you know, send it to a buddy's address and ask them, say, if you get an email or, you know, an address, something back for Alfredo, just, that's me. I mean, no, that way they have no idea who you are. They can't take it. They'd be like, oh, wow, that's great DNA, you know, but who is this guy? You know, wrong address, wrong everything. So that's what I would do. But like Austin said, it's probably better just not to get it tested. By the way, there's an article here in Breitbart. It says the Vatican Cardinal Pope Francis is ice cold Machiavellian. Now, Machiavellian, for those of you who don't understand that, that means cunning, scheming, unscrupulous, especially in politics or advancing one's career. He's the same guy who killed all of those people and sent them to their death in Argentina. And their Spiegel magazine ran a front cover with the Pope's picture, and it says in German, Du sollst nicht lügen, which means thou shalt not lie. That's what it says in German. That's what it says. They're telling that to the Pope. And then it says, der Papst, which is the papistry, it says, der Papst und die Catholic Kirche ist in ihrer größte Krise, which means that they're in a huge crisis right now, the entire papacy and the Catholic Church, because of the lies. In fact, the progressive German magazine Der Spiegel has ended its love affair with the Pope, declaring that the Church's sex abuse crisis is increasingly about Pope Francis. In a stunning article title covered The Silence of the Shepherds, the magazine blasts the Pope for his unwillingness to answer direct questions regarding what he knew about the serial homosexual abuse by U.S. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick and when he knew it. On August the 25th, a report from a high-ranking Vatican official declared that the Pope was aware of these misdeeds as early as 2013, yet did nothing about it. So, guys, the Catholic Church is in trouble. And again, I'm going to say this to you guys. I'm not saying that if you're Catholic, you can't be saved, because I don't believe that whatsoever. But what I'm saying is, if I were you guys, the same thing I tell people that are in a church, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, or whatever, if they're not doing what you want them to do as far as with your money that you're giving them every month, I'd stop giving them money. Because if you think right now putting money into the Catholic Church is in good soil with the leadership they've got in the Catholic Church, we need to have a little scriptural talk about what good soil is. Groups of people that rape little children like this by the tens of thousands that have paid out billions of dollars in claims, these are not good people. This church has been infiltrated through the Illuminati and through the Masonic lodges way back in the 50s and the 60s, all the way back into the 40s when the Vatican Bank started running money through, you know, to Southeast Asia with drugs. I mean, this thing is a mess with the Catholic Church. And I, quite frankly, I mean, I would not support it if I was a Catholic. It's like I'm no longer in a Lutheran church. We go to a Baptist church, and what I do is I give money to different churches. I've told you guys that. I know the soil where I put my money, and I sow my seed in these different areas. Now, people are always asking me, what about tithing? Oh, I believe in tithing, but I also believe in giving. Now, tithing, remember, is Old Testament, and it predates Moses, so it's kind of like a principle of the word. So should you tithe? Yes. Should you tithe to your local church where you're being fed? Yes. Or, if you're not being fed in a local church, you can take your tithe and you can spread it around to different places where you want to be. So if you, and now I personally believe, this is my opinion again, I believe the tithe is based upon your net income, not upon your pre-tax income. Now you say, well, I don't believe with you. I don't agree with you. I don't tithe. That's okay. You don't have to. But remember, when people originally were paying the tithe in the Old Testament, Rome was charging them like a 0.5%, 1% tax. So if you made $100, you paid like a dollar, you know, you paid like a dollar in, the rest of it was yours, and 10% was what you'd pay left. If you're in a 39% tax bracket plus Social Security money and all the other stuff you're putting out, you're self-employed, you're paying 60% of your money into taxes, and you make $100,000, and you pay $60,000 out, and you have $40,000 left, 10% of that 100,000 is 25% of what you have left. So now you're not tithing 10%, you're tithing 25%. I don't believe God expects us to do that. Not in this Babylonian money satanic system that we're in now with this Sabbatine Kabbalist group that's running the banking system. I don't believe he expects that. But here's what I also believe. I believe that if God says to you, you know, such and such bank or such and such church or such and such group needs you to pay them, you know, $5,000, and your tithe that month is, you know, $500, but you've got $5,000 in the bank, I believe that if you really feel led by the Holy Spirit to do that, you should give the whole $5,000. You say, well, I can't believe you said it. Well, yeah, because he, and that, but that's not a tithe.
And the thing about this, all this crazy stuff too, with, you know, different type of supplements, is that, you know, there's so many supplements out there now that can really, really benefit the immune system. And that's why I bring this. This article is basically from the end of last year, but it's from Mansoura University. The journal reference was called Thymoquinone Pre and Post Treatment Effects on Carcinoma Induced Albino Mice. And it talks about black seed oil. This is why we talk about black seed oil so much on a regular basis. The study conducted by researchers at Mansoura University revealed that thymoquinone can lower the risk of cancer and inhibit tumor progression. The study, which was published in the Australian Journal of Basic and Applied Sciences, evaluated the prevention and therapeutic anti-cancer properties in black seed oil in vitro bottles of basically carcinoma in mice. And so this isn't me saying this. This is a research article that was published journal talking about the principal component of black cumin seeds, which basically is black seed oil, is known for its anti-inflammatory properties, and results of the experiment showed that the black seed oil possesses potent anti-cancer properties. And so this is something that, you know, you don't even have to make up. You can pull the research articles yourself. That's why it's so important we tell people, you know, if you're having an issue with your immune system, hammer the vitamin C, hammer the D3, hammer the black seed oil. Those three in and of itself are incredible. You can also throw in the viral graphis, which is a really important one. But right now, you know, especially as we see this flu wave come back in, the flu shots being shot out there faster than they could get their hands on the syringes, trying to get every single person injected with these flus, it's better to stay away from that stuff and try to keep your immune system as strong as possible. And on top of that, keep your hands washed all the time. Keep your hands washed. And the thing you don't realize, a lot of times you don't even have to wash your hands with a massive amount of soap all the time. Just warm water and washing your hands under warm water for 10 to 20 seconds does an incredible job at washing off a lot of pathogens and contaminants that can be on your hands. Also, too, making sure you're drinking enough purified distilled water, you know, like the Aquatrace, to keep your mineral balance up, and keeping your body flushed out of toxins with the water, making sure you're having proper bowel movements going in, and making sure you're eating enough dietary fiber and greens and vegetables to keep all that going through your system, and getting enough sleep. Sleep is crucial. crucial when it comes to keeping your immune system on point, because you have to go in and make sure that your body's having adequate time to rest. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but I'm adding to it again, because I still on a regular basis get emails from people wanting to know basically what to do with their immune system. They're having issues with the immune system, compromised issues in their body, family members are having issues. There's key factors that have to be followed in order to keep a healthy immune system, and that is proper hygiene, proper bowel movements, proper water intake, proper supplementation, and proper rest. Those are really key factors. They don't change for anybody. Now, there's other things you know you may want to do, like throwing the ultimate immune booster or specific nutrients that somebody could be deficient in, but, you know, the black seed oil, the C, the D, the viral graphis, those are all really good base, crucial supplements that you can run on a regular to semi-regular basis to keep the immune system strong all the time. Also, too, another aspect of inflammatory issues, this gets an email a lot, is the turmeric. Turmeric, again, is such an important role. I've talked about it repeatedly, and there's so much research articles online and on our website at healthmasters.com that you can go on and look at the different inflammatory properties that turmeric is really good for. So just a couple key elements that I wanted to talk about. There was some emails that I constantly get. Also, too, another article that really kind of actually spooks you a little bit, because it's showing how much these phones are really being used as a spy grid on us and putting us literally in this Skynet kind of AI system that's monitoring everything we do. You know, I've talked to before about you've got to turn off all your permissions on your phone all the time. Unless you're actively using them for something with business, turn them off. When you give Instagram or you give Facebook, you give any of these guys access to your microphone, they listen to everything you say. That's why all of a sudden you'll get on Facebook 20 minutes later after talking about going to, you know, Applebee's, something, you know, to go eat lunch, something just off the wall like that, and all of a sudden, bam, you go on Facebook and there's an ad for Applebee's on there. They listen to every single thing you say, good or bad, and they use that information and they sell that information to the highest bidder. Keep the stuff off, or better yet, keep your phones away from you when you're having private conversations. But also, too, on top of this now, Apple has quietly introduced trust scores for people based on how their iPhones and devices are used. The tech giant, which you guys saw last month, became the first public company to be worth more than $1 trillion, has said now in an update in its privacy policies that scores would be determined by tracking calls and emails made on Apple devices. This is just downright scary. Apple is going to give a trust rating score that they say it will be used to help fight fraud. However, specific examples of how they're going to fight fraud is not being given whatsoever. The provision, first spotted by VentureBeat, appeared in an update to the iTunes Store and Privacy page and came ahead of the release of the iPhone XS and iPhone XS Plus last week. They go on to say, and I quote, "To help identify and prevent fraud, information about how you use your device, including the approximate number of phone calls or emails you send and receive, will be used to compute a device trust score when you attempt to purchase. The submissions are designed so Apple cannot learn the real values on your device. The scores are stored for fixed time on your servers." That makes you feel so much better about it. The crazy part is, though, if you read the privacy statement that you have to accept, the vagueness of the language used in the update means it literally could be interpreted into a broad and potentially invasive way, and it's also highly unusual that it's applied to every product, including Apple TVs, which are unable to make or receive emails or phone calls, to my knowledge, unless you have some really, really weird Apple TV that you can make phone calls on. I didn't know they made those. They may, but I didn't think they did, but it still applies to the Apple TV. So this, again, if you guys have noticed, everything is dialing back into this score. China, I already went into detail last week, if you guys want to listen to the show on the China social crisis credit score that they're starting to implement now, which is downright scary to a whole other level of what we ever even thought possible, that now we're seeing trust scores with Apple. We're seeing scores on other companies as far as, you know, giving you bonus points if you do this and you do that. All this stuff is starting to culminate into a very, very weird scenario, which in my opinion is starting to dial right back in to communist China in the exact same way they operate, where you, if you're a good citizen and you do what they tell you to do and you read what they tell you to read and you go on websites that are approved by communist China, your score basically goes up. But you hang out with people that are open thinkers, you hang out people that are critical of a tyrannical government, you go and watch movies that are anti-communism, you go on websites that essentially talk about the Chinese communist government and the atrocities it's committed over the last 100 years, your score goes down immediately. And if it gets low enough, you can't even buy anything. You can't even get fuel. You can't even rent a car or a hotel. You can't do anything. You essentially turn into a homeless person. That's exactly what happens. And now with Apple coming out and giving trust scores essentially to fight fraud, basically, so what it's going to do is now it's going to monitor what you do, what you look at, what kind of phone calls you make, where you go, obviously by your device location that tracks you everywhere. And then when you go to buy something, you're going to have a trust score that's exhibited when you buy something. So if it's too low, I'm guessing, which it doesn't say in here yet, if it gets too low, I'm assuming they're going to block your charges. So if you go to buy something and your trust score is very low because you are very critical of things that could be going on and you're very open to a lot of stuff and you're not stuck on the socialist communist mindset platform that the leftists push, and your score goes too low, you're not going to be able to buy anything on your Apple phone. That's basically what they're saying here. So really, really weird stuff that's going on with these guys, and something that I kind of wanted to address because I don't see many people talking about it right now. Also, too, in other news, why it's always so crucial to keep some form of cash on you, internet banking has become crisis-prone in the UK. Last week, the online service systems of Royal Bank of Scotland, Ulster Bank, and parts of RBS Bank crashed in unison, leaving millions upon millions of customers unable to pay bills or view their balances online or mobile accounts. The groups had 19 million customers in the UK and 5.5 million in Ireland. They said around 5 hours of chaos, the RBS Group Bank announced that the problem had been resolved. The failure had apparently been a technical glitch, which you guys have noticed, that is a word being used with increased frequency by banks. Every time something happens, it was a glitch. It was a technical glitch. And the truth is, we have no idea what happened. The day before that, it was the turn of UK's largest bank, Barclay, whose website and telephone banking service crashed for around 7 hours, leaving frustrated customers locked out of their online accounts. Barclay has around 24 million UK customers. Customers reported the system inside branches went down as well, preventing customers from carrying out transactions even in the old-fashioned pre-digital way. By mid-afternoon, the IT glitch word was used again, and they said the problem was resolved, though no explanation has ever been given. A few days earlier, an outage on online Challenger Bank Cash Plus, which works with people with poor credit, and left customers unable to access their account or even make cash withdrawals or even make or receive payments. So this all happened in the UK within like a 3-day period. And so many people now, you know, I go places and I talk to people and they don't even carry cash. They literally don't have a coin or a dollar bill on them whatsoever, haven't carried it in months. And it is crucial that you always carry some form of cash. Even if you want to hide a $50 or $100 bill in the backside of your wallet, you know, that you can basically save for a rainy day, have something on you, because this is becoming more and more frequent. And the more that everybody relies on this giant digital payment system that literally is starting to encompass the entire world, more and more people are going to start running into these issues. And I mean, could you imagine being on a road trip somewhere and all of a sudden your credit card goes out while you're trying to make gas, buy gas? All of a sudden you can't buy gas, can't buy food, you can't pay for anything, and your car's on empty, and your credit card's down. You have absolutely nothing you could do right now. The ATM won't accept your card. The credit card company's phone number is not working. And for 7 hours, you're basically stuck at a gas station hoping and praying that your credit card just happens to start working again. Don't be that person. Always have a backup. Always have a plan B, C, and D, and always be ready for any situation. That's why I tell you guys all the time, doesn't matter where I go, I always have a grab-and-go bag with me that has basically a full medic kit in it with tourniquet, has extra cash in it, has numerous magazines and a spare pistol. I prefer a Glock 19 for a backup handgun because the size and durability of it is incredibly easy to conceal, yet it can still accept a 17-round magazine, and you can carry quite a bit of 9mm ammo with that. And on top of that, you know, compass, maps, blade, a nice long blade or folding blade that you can carry, extra food bars, water filtration, including, you know, like a filter or a straw or a filter system that you can have with you, and multiple other little doodads that you can add in that system. And one thing, again, though, that I wanted to address are maps. Most people have no idea how to get from point A to point B anymore without GPS on their phone. You know, I grew up when Dad was doing a lot of the radio shows across the country. I grew up learning how to read and operate a map because we'd be driving around in a little motorhome going to different radio shows every single day. And we didn't have GPS. We didn't have Garmin or TomTom, which those are antiquated now. Nobody even uses those anymore. But I learned how to read a map at a very young age, and I can still read a map very, very easily and figure out exactly where I'm going. If I have a compass and even a basic map, I can pretty much get to any place that I need to get within reason. Even if I have to walk, I can figure it out pretty easily. And some people, they look at a map and they're like, what is this, hieroglyphics? What am I supposed to do with this? This is an ancient relic. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Know how to read a map. At least get one. And a lot of times you can get them at your local travel store still, or you can go to like a AAA, and I go down there, or you just go take all the ones I have that are locally. I have a U.S. National, I have a Florida one, I have a multi-county one, and then I have a specific county one all around this area, so you can use to get pretty much anywhere in the entire United States on foot or via vehicle if you had to do so with zero technology, no phone, no GPS, no nothing, simply with a compass and a map. Keep those in your grab-and-go bag and make it habitual. Do not vary back and forth. Build your bag, keep it with you, take it where you go, travel with it, and always go back in and double-check it every couple months and make sure you have everything you need. And also, too, if you talk to people that are well-versed in that are retired military, retired, you know, Army, Rangers, Corps, MARSOC, any of that, they'll tell you the same thing, and a lot of times they'll give you other ideas of things you can throw in your bag that may be more personal that you may need that you don't have in your bag. So something to think about, guys. Just wanted to add that in there. Thank you guys for just taking care of Health Masters. Thank you for the support, and thank you for buying your ultimate multiple from us and really helping us fund this show on a regular basis and allowing us to have zero commercials for our entire show every single day. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com is the place to go. We have a huge summer sale right now on our magnesium brain food, if you guys have seen that already. Really popular product. Also, too, the Alpha Male Stack is on sale, which includes the HGH Stimulate, the Tribulus Fuel, a couple other products that really can help raise libido, increase testosterone, increase muscle mass, and really help out with strength in the gym. This is a stack that I use for years. I'm the one who personally put this together, and I continually use it pretty much every single month with a slight variation every couple months to change it up a little bit. So be sure to check those out on the website, and please get on there and vote for the product of the week. We have multiple products that are still neck and neck that are winning right now, including the melatonin and the super brain food. So get on the website at healthmasters.com. Please vote for the products that you want to have on sale so I can put it on sale for you guys tomorrow and make it optional for anybody to get on the website and buy it for a very reasonable price. Thank you, guys. I love you. I appreciate the support and the emails. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.